Lift your voice. Well, we're excited to connect with you this fall. Whether you've been around here for a while or you're a newcomer, there's going to be some men's groups and ladies, breakfasts and coffees. For the newcomers, we're going to have a pie night for you. We just look forward to connecting with you this fall.
Kim and I are excited to be leading Ignite Youth this year.
Yeah, through small groups, through playing games, and having important conversations, we seek to build genuine relationships with students and help equip them to live 6-8.
We are excited that right now throughout our city, we have small groups of people gathering together to bring God's hope and healing and transformation to the people and spaces around them. And we're looking forward to seeing new microchurches emerge this year.
I'm excited to gather with you all on Sunday mornings to celebrate what God is doing and to worship Him together.
We are so excited about discipling kids this year. Through engaging Bible stories, fun activities, and nurturing and building relationships with these students.
We're excited this fall to be partnering with you, to come together and discover how we can live 6-8 and make a greater kingdom difference for God's glory and the good of others.
Welcome to Sanish Baptist Church. Here, we believe that we are called to share Christ's love in both word and deed. And we do that through a thing called Living 6-8. Living 6-8 comes from the verse Micah 6-8, which tells us all about what God thinks is good and what He requires from us. So first, to act justly. We believe that we need to speak up for and be a part of bringing justice for the poor, the oppressed, and the marginalized in Victoria and around the world. We believe that the voiceless need a voice and that we can partner with God in bringing justice to Victoria and beyond. To love mercy, not only do we need to speak up, but we are called to serve and love the people that God has brought into our context. It is our belief that regardless of your age, your gender, your sexuality, your race, how you speak or where you come from, that you are deeply loved by God and that we as a church need to be a part of sharing that love. And finally, to walk humbly. We believe that to walk humbly means to desire Jesus every single day, to recognize Him as Lord and King, and then to live in obedience to Him, recognizing all that He has done for us and sharing that good news to those around us. So that's who we are. And our Sunday services, well, this is the time when we come and celebrate. We come together and worship our God. We hear from Him and His word, and then we respond in obedience. And then, well, then we go out and live as the church. 7 days a week, we are the church, a community of people that are seeking God and His mission of transforming lives and changing this city. So welcome. We're so glad that you have joined us. Let's discover how we can live 6-8 together.
He has shown you, mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God.
It's kickoff Sunday!
Woo-hoo! Woo!
Yeah, so that means this September we have a bunch of groups and programs starting. So for all that information, check out our website and the details will be there.
You betcha. And one of the things that's starting up is Ignite Youth, which we're excited to be a part of this year.
Yeah, so this Wednesday is Ignite kickoff. So that means if you're in grade 6 to grade 12, come on out. We're going to have a barbecue. We're going to play some games. You'll meet your small group leaders. We'll just have a lot of fun.
Awesome, you're not gonna wanna miss that. And then really important information lastly for September, the 25th service, what do the people need to know?
Yes, yeah, so September 25th is Steve Sunby's last Sunday with us, so we're going to do a big farewell, and we want to all be together for that. Mm-hmm. So we are going to have a combined service at our Wilkinson Road campus, 10 o'clock a.m. and online.
Well, that is going to be a great time. You're not going to want to miss that service. That is all the announcements we have for you this week, so we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Well, welcome indeed to Kick Off Sunday. We're super excited to have lots of information about what's starting up, what's going on this year. So we'll have more information throughout the service. But just as we begin to worship, I'm going to invite you to stand as we, prepare to worship our God together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people. And I forgot to plug in my ears, and so if I want to hear what anybody is doing, I'm just going to plug that in really quickly. Yep, here we go. Here's the end. I'm sorry. Sorry, live stream. If I just walked out of the frame. There we go. Ooh, hello. There we go. Now I'm going to know what's going on. And if I can find a pocket to stick it in. 1 second. There we go. Somebody tell a joke. There we go. Okay. All right, now let's worship. Let's begin with this call to worship, which is inspired by Psalm 63, verses 1 to 8. And it says this: O God, you are our God, the one in whom we trust. We've gathered together today to worship you, to open our hearts and minds to your presence. We long to meet you here and to hear your voice. We come with confidence because we've met you here before. We've been awed and inspired by your glory and your power. We come with gratitude because we've known your steadfast love, a love which is better than life itself. And so we praise you, lifting our voices, lifting our hands in joy and expectation. Come among us in your power. Pour out your Spirit on our thirsty souls, that we may be filled with your goodness and love. Amen. Let's sing, King of Heaven, come. Let's put our hands together. You guys can do that, right? Yeah, there. Your kingdom come here, let your will be done here in us, Jesus. It's incredible that that same God that has no rival, whose kingdom is all powerful, we get to know and experience for ourselves. And so I love this song, just proclaiming the faithfulness of God to walk with us through all points of our life. So let's sing this song. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing that again. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing that again. All my life. the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of our God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah, God, we do declare your goodness, your faithfulness. We come to you in gratitude for those things. And I know, at least in my own life, I've seen you walk with me through some of the biggest highs and the lowest lows that I could ever go through. I'm so grateful for your faithfulness, that you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Most Holy One, chooses to walk with me through the simple things of my human life, that you choose to know me and love me as you do each of us here. And so, God, yeah, we worship you, we give you glory, because you are worthy of it. This in your name. Amen. Well, you guys can take a seat. And kids, we are going to dismiss you guys. You guys can run your little feet all the way to the back to find Shyla. And she is going to take you up to your kids program where you guys are going to continue to worship together in your own age groups and stuff. And us big kids are going to continue as well. And we have a little video that we would love to show you that's just all about our kickoff today. Some of the things that we are excited about for ministry for this year. So as the kids pitter off, let's take a look at that video.
Well, we're excited to connect with you this fall. Whether you've been around here for a while or you're a newcomer, there's going to be some men's groups and ladies, breakfasts and coffees. For the newcomers, we're going to have a pie night for you. We just look forward to connecting with you this fall.
Kim and I are excited to be leading Ignite Youth this year.
Yeah, through small groups, through playing games, and having important conversations, we seek to build genuine relationships with students and help equip them to live 6-8.
We are excited that right now through Art Our City, we have small groups of people gathering together to bring God's hope and healing and transformation to the people and spaces around them. And we're looking forward to seeing new microchurches emerge this year.
I'm excited to gather with you all on Sunday mornings to celebrate what God is doing and to worship Him together.
We are so excited about discipling kids this year. Through engaging Bible stories, fun activities, and nurturing and building relationships with these students.
We're excited this fall to be partnering with you, to come together and discover how we can live 6-8 and make a greater kingdom difference for God's glory and the good of others.
Yeah, so that just looks so easy. You have no idea how many takes that takes to get to that point. Yeah, no, but did you catch the line? We are Yeah, excited, just like that kid when Kim dismissed the kids and he went, yay, finally, and he went running off, right? Oh my goodness. We are excited about this ministry fall. We're excited to be with you. We wanted to just take a moment or two during the service this morning to do something. Yeah, some of you have already figured it out. I love that. You've already been looking in the chair back in front of you, and you've discovered this little card that talks about partnering with us. And I just want to read to you a verse that just speaks of the sentiment that we as a leadership here have in relationship to all of you. And this is Paul's words, Philippians chapter 1. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel. And we are wanting this year, as we head into this new ministry year, calendar year, I don't know, whatever we call this kind of thing, this new opportunity. Are we post-COVID? Like, what are we, right? But we're here together, and we're wanting to discover what it means to partner with you in a new and a fresh way as we move forward. And for those of you who are online, you don't have a chair back in front of you, but online you can hit the website and you can get an electronic version of this card. And what we're going to do right now is just give you a couple of minutes to consider, hey, how might I be able to partner with SBC in this coming year? There's a whole bunch of ideas here. There's also a section there that says, do you have a passion for something not listed? And we would just encourage you to just take a few moments. You may not have anything right now, We're just hitting you with this last minute. But we just want to give you a chance to consider, how might we be able to partner together? So I'm going to stop talking. Nick's going to noodle away on the piano. Nick, are you there? Nick, where are you? Nick? Oh, there he is. Nick's going to noodle away just a little bit on the piano. Just take a minute or two just to consider what maybe God is wanting to do with you and through you, and how you might be able to partner with us as we continue in this ministry year. Some of you are thinking, there's no way I can commit to anything. Can I just say, you're not committing by necessarily checking off a box here or anything. What we're going to do is we're going to collect these at the end of the service. And if you have indicated anything there, we just want to reach out to you and maybe help you understand just a little bit about what is going on in there. So by checking that box and dropping it off later in the offering basket, it's not that you're committed, all right? But you're open to a conversation and maybe hearing a little bit about that. And I also recognize, you might not be ready to do anything like that yet. That's fine. You know what? We're going to be here next week and the week after and the week, right? Like, we're going to be around and open to having these kinds of conversations as we roll forward. So just a little thing about after the service. After the service, we're going to have some people at the back of the fireside room who can maybe explain a little bit more about what this all is. We also, you may have heard, we've got some donuts. And what we're trying to do is we're just trying to say, don't just run off. Okay, how about sticking around a little bit and just chat with some people? You'll see some of these things, lanyards, people wearing them. That just means that they know a little bit about the ministry, at least their own experience, and maybe you might want to ask them a question or two about that. So that's enough of that. Thank you very much for taking a moment or two to do that.
Lindsay, good noodling, by the way, there behind the screen. Yeah. I was just thinking, one of the things I'm going to miss is Kim and the team leading us to worship. They did a great job this morning, didn't they? That was awesome. Thank you. Well, just before we dive into my second to last sermon here at Saanich, as you heard this morning, September 25th is my last Sunday here. And obviously, there's going to be a gap between my leaving and the new senior pastor coming, and the board is the search team of the church, and I'm sure their chairman, Don White, will update you in coming weeks on where the search is at and all of that. But one of the concerns that the board had is, how do we structure the staff between your going and a new pastor coming? And the board met in August and made, I think, a couple of great decisions. They've decided that Lindsay Anderson is going to be the interim lead pastor of Saanich Baptist Church, and Christina is going to be the associate pastor of Saanich Baptist Church. And I know it does me good knowing that as I step out, you are in good hands with Pastor Chris and Pastor Lindsay. I think they're going to lead you well in this interim time. And so, Lindsay, why don't you come up? I want to pray for you, my friend. We were talking the other day. We've worked together 14 and a half years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
We're getting old.
There is that.
There is that. We've got a lot of experience. Let me pray for you, my friend. Father, thank you for Lindsay and Carla. And thank you for their faithful, faithful ministry over the years, not just here at Saanich, but in Calgary and in Langley. God, thank you for all of that. They have followed faithfully your call. And thank you for this new step. Lord, you brought them to this place. You prepared them for this role. Father, I'm happy to pass the baton, if you will, to Lindsay as he leads in the interim, as the church seeks out a new lead pastor. Father, thank you for him. Thank you for his skill set. Thank you for his humble heart. Thank you for his heart after you, his love for people. Father, I just pray for him and for Carla as they lead that, Father, you will anoint them with your wisdom, your spirit, your strength, your compassion. Father, I pray you'll keep them strong as they take on this new role and all the demands. That Father, you'll keep them healthy. Father, you'll keep them walking with you. Father, thank you for the team around them, for Chris and the other staff team. Father, thank you for the amazing staff you brought to this church. I know, Father, this church is in good hands as it moves into the future. And I thank you for Lindsay, and I thank you for his willingness to take this role. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, buddy. Well, we're in a little series called The Big E on the Eye Chart. In other words, what's really important? What do I want to leave you with as I step out of my role here at Saanich of that elite pastor? And if you were here in July before I went on holidays, we started with the question is, who is the Father? Who is God the Father? And we saw that he is a loving God, a gracious God, a God who runs out to accept us with open arms. And then last week we saw who is Jesus. Amazing passage in Revelation about who Jesus is. Today I want us to answer this question. What is the story that we find ourselves in? See, your life, if you think about it, is a story. But I would suggest to you that your life, your story, is part of a Sorry, I'm walking out of the screen. I forget that. Is a much, all this time you'd think I'd get it right. Don't walk out of the screen. It drives them crazy. Is part of a much bigger story. Your life, your story, is part of a grand story, a vast overarching story that explains all other stories. And it's so easy in our lives to get so focused on our little story that we forget the grand overarching story that we're a part of. And this grand overarching story is the story the Bible tells us about. The story has six chapters: creation, corruption, covenant, Christ, call, new creation. Today we're going to look at the first four chapters. Next week we're going to look at the fifth chapter as I give my final sermon here at Saanich. Let's jump in. In chapter 1 of this vast overarching story, God creates. In the beginning, it says in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth, the entire cosmos. And human beings were the crown of his creation, created in his image. Let's never forget that. That every single human being is created in the image of God. And while sin may mar that image deeply, it does not extinguish it. Every single person you meet is created in the image of God. And originally, we were created for four relationships. First, we were created for a relationship with ourselves. The first couple that God created were created as whole, complete people. They had no hang-ups. They had no dysfunction. We're created as human beings for relationships with others. We're created to be in loving, harmonious relationships with others. In fact, it says in the Bible after God created Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. We're created for relationships. We're also created for a relationship with God, a loving, dynamic, close relationship with God. And we're created for a relationship with nature. We were called in Genesis to steward creation. And as chapter 1 closes out, Genesis 1:31 says, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. In chapter 2, sin corrupts. Adam and Eve were created with the freedom to choose. They could choose to enjoy God's presence, or they could choose to chart their own course. And it was that freedom of choice that Satan exploited. He tempted Eve with the lie that God could not be trusted. So they needed to take matters into their own hands. And tragically, Adam and Eve believed the lie. And they chose to disobey God and go their own way. And that choice changed everything. Everything. It opened the floodgates to all kinds of evil. Not just for them, but for all of humanity. And today, in 2022, we are still dealing with the reality and consequences of that choice. We are created to be whole, complete people. But every single one of us has been deeply marred by sin. Every single one of us have some level of dysfunction. We're created for loving, harmonious relationships with other people, but the reality is we live in a world of racism and sexism and slavery and injustice and oppression. And every single one of us in this room knows the pain and heartache of fractured relationships. We're created for this dynamic relationship with God, but there's a chasm, and we know it's there, between God and humanity. That's what religion is all about. Religion is all about man's attempt to bridge the chasm back to God. We're created to be stewards of God's creation, but we all know this. The reality is we've exploited, not stewarded, God's creation. The fact is, sin has corrupted all God created. And every human knows something is not right. Every human knows something is not right. When you watch the news headlines and you look at Ukraine and you see them bombing civilians, or you look at other news stories, you look at Uvalde and you look at the school shooting and things like that, how does that make you feel? You kind of think to yourself, things should be better than this. This isn't the way things are supposed to be. Everyone knows something is messed up. And I think every human longs to experience those relationships we were created for. We long for a better world. We long to go back to very good. In our hearts, in our souls, we long for that. In chapter 1, God creates. In chapter 2, everything has been corrupted by sin. And then we come to chapter 3. And here's where I summarize the entire Old Testament in like 2 minutes. In chapter 3, God set out to restore what he'd made. And the story of the fall explains how relationships we were created for were broken. That's the story of the fall. It explains how the relationships we were created for were broken. The relationships God called very good came crashing down at the fall. The rest of Scripture, and this is the good news, takes us on a journey towards redemption and restoration and recreation. God's goal when it comes to redemption and restoration is the redemption and restoration of all creation. Peter says in Acts 3:21, he must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, writes about the scope of God's redemptive work. He says this, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him, catch this, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Everything has been corrupted by sin. Thus, everything needs to be restored. And God's plan is to reconcile and restore all things. And in the Old Testament, God begins his, or initiates his redemptive plan by entering into a covenant, which is a binding agreement with Abraham. And in the Old Testament, God promised Abraham that he would make him into a great nation and would give that nation land and bless them. And through that nation, God was going to bless the other nations. And then at Mount Sinai, God made a covenant with all the Israelites, all the Jewish people. He chose a ragtag group of slaves to be his people, to live under his reign. And the idea was that through their walk with God, other nations would be drawn to him. And the rest of the Old Testament, told you I was summing it up quick, narrates how faithful or unfaithful the Israelites were to these covenants. That's what basically the rest of the Old Testament was about. And at the end of the Old Testament, the Israelites were waiting. Waiting for the Messiah to come and bring liberation and restoration. They were not waiting for the Messiah to come and forgive their sins and take their souls to heaven when they died. That's not what they were waiting for at the end of the Old Testament. They were waiting for the Messiah to come and restore Israel to its rightful, powerful place. They were waiting for the Romans to be kicked out by the Messiah. And now we come to chapter 4, where we have part 2 of God's redemptive plan. Onto the scene stepped a young Jewish man named Jesus, who announced God's kingdom had come. Mark 1:14, the time has come, Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus spoke more about the kingdom of God than anything else. His central theme, his primary message was the kingdom of God was breaking in. His words, his miracles, his teaching, his life all demonstrated and announced that God's kingdom was now at hand. The good news that Jesus proclaimed, his gospel was the kingdom of God has come to earth, and through him we can all become part of it. The kingdom the Jewish people have been waiting for was finally here. Life in God's presence and power was now available to ordinary people. Jesus came as the kingdom bringer, the liberator, the long-awaited Messiah, but, and this is a big but, he was not the kind of king or Messiah the Jewish people were waiting for. Remember, they were waiting for the Messiah to come and expel the Romans and restore Israel. And Jesus comes as a wandering rabbi who taught that as the kingdom of God broke through, it would be good news to the poor. It would bring healing to the brokenhearted. It would bring liberty to the captives and sight to the blind and freedom to the oppressed. And even though he was just a wandering rabbi, his words and actions were so revolutionary, so challenging to the religious establishment, so threatening to the political powers of his day that they executed him. They hung him on a cross. Jesus died, understand this, as a political rebel, a rival king. Rome did not execute Jesus because he was trying to start a new religion. Jesus was arrested and crucified because the powers of religion and the empire colluded together to take out a threat. The powers and principalities of the day intended his crucifixion to be a moment of humiliation, but actually it was a moment of exaltation. On the cross, Jesus took all the sin and brokenness of the world on himself. On the cross, Jesus took upon himself the condemnation of sin. Jesus died on the cross as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And after he died, Jesus was buried in a tomb, and then 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and he conquered the power of sin and death. You see, in Genesis 3, death won, and sin won, and separation won, or so it seemed. But then Jesus rose from the grave, and death lost, and sin lost, and separation lost. The risen Jesus then appeared to his followers before he ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And as Jesus ascended, he was raised above all authority. And when Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, he was enthroned. And today, Jesus is sitting on the throne of his kingdom. He is alive, and he is the risen King. We don't make Jesus Lord when we ask him to be our personal Savior. God the Father made Jesus Lord and King. And through Jesus' work on the cross, through his death and resurrection, we can experience certain things. When we come to the cross, we experience forgiveness. As I said earlier, all of us, oops, there I am. I'm getting good, I can see it now. As I said earlier, we're all sinners, but when we come to the cross, we're all forgiven. Isn't that awesome? Because of the cross, you can be forgiven. When you come to the cross, it says in the Bible, we're all given the gift of eternal life. Now, some people misunderstand what is eternal life. Eternal life is clearly defined in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God the Father and his Son Jesus. And know here means knowing, like in having a relationship with. Eternal life is experiencing a restored relationship with God. Eternal life is life with God, life under God's care, life by God's power. It's life that starts right here, right now, when you come to the cross, and then goes on into eternity. When we come to the cross, we experience forgiveness. And we are given the gift of eternal life. And when we come to the cross, we're also transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. It says in Colossians 1:13, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom his Son loves." When you come to the cross, you enter into his kingdom. In other words, the cross is a doorway into Christ's kingdom. And as you enter that kingdom, as you walk through the cross as a doorway and you enter his kingdom, you're given a new identity. You're no longer a sinner, you're now a saint. You're now a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And you're now called to a whole new way of life, a life that is lived under Jesus' kingship, under his rule and his reign. And folks, that is all life-giving good news. And notice, it's about much more than just going to heaven when you die. Salvation isn't about relocation, it's about transformation. Let me say that again, it's so important. Salvation isn't about relocation, it is about transformation. And the problem with North American Christianity today is because of our individualistic, self-centered culture, we've created a gospel that is far too small, far too self-centered, and far too tame. The gospel today has been reduced simply to getting people to pray a prayer, accept Jesus into their life so they can go to heaven when they die. That's not what Jesus said the gospel is. The gospel Jesus preached, the gospel that led to the martyrdom of most of the first 12 disciples was not a pray a prayer and go to heaven when you die gospel. It was not a gospel of just sin management. It was good news that was far grander, far more life-changing, far more costly, far more compelling than just going to heaven. The gospel Jesus proclaimed was this, that the kingdom of God had come through him, and we can now live in his kingdom and experience life with God. And that goes on now, and again, it goes on into eternity, yes, but it's so much more than just going to heaven. When you come to the cross and you enter into his kingdom, it's the beginning of an incredible journey. It's the beginning of living life under the rule and reign of Jesus. It's a life with new loyalties to a new king. And again, the cross is the doorway into that kingdom. And we walk through that doorway when we do a couple of things. When we turn to him, we believe in him, and we say yes to his rule and reign in our lives. We enter his kingdom when we turn to him, when we repent. Mark 1:15 says, the time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent means this. It means to turn around and go a different direction. Jesus wants people to turn around, to switch allegiances. The Bible tells us we're on a wrong path. We're heading the wrong way. We're heading away from God. And Jesus says you need to repent. You need to turn around and head in a new direction. Turn towards God rather than away from God. And true repentance is just that. It's turning from walking away from God and turning to God and saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow your ways. I want to walk towards you, not away from you. And then we enter his kingdom when we believe in him. Believe is more than just giving mental assent to a bunch of facts about Jesus. It means, in biblical terms, to place your trust in. Jesus calls us to place our trust in him. I've told you this story a few times before, and I'll tell you again. When Eric was little, this isn't a picture of Eric, but Eric was a little smaller than this kid, but I put the picture there so you get the idea in the story. But Eric was a little bit smaller, but he had a life jacket on like that, and we were in Penticton at a hotel, and Eric wanted to jump off the diving board, and so he kept walking the edge of the diving board. So then I jumped into the pool, and I swam, like where this dad's head is down the corner, and I said, jump, son. Now, little Eric, he's standing on the diving board, and he's giving, I'm sure in his little brain, mental assent to the fact that dad will catch me, he won't let me drown, right? But Eric didn't trust until he jumped. When Eric took that step and jumped, and I caught him, he trusted in his father. And that's what it means to trust in God. To trust in God says, Jesus, I'm going to jump into your arms. I'm going to trust what you say. I'm going to trust in you to be my leader and my king. It's just not going to be mental assent. I'm actually going to live it. I'm going to trust in you. And I'm going to trust in the power of your spirit to allow me to live the life you want me to live. And then we enter his kingdom and we say three words. Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9 says this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Those three words change everything. Do you realize those three words are words of surrender? When you say Jesus is Lord, you know what that means? You're not. When you say Jesus is Lord or Jesus is King, that means you're not King. You're not Lord. He is. And everything then becomes new and different when we declare Jesus as Lord, because in doing so, we're giving up our control of our lives to Jesus, and we're submitting ourselves to his authority, his kingship, his rulership. Turn, trust, acknowledge. Walk through the door into the kingdom. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus came on a rescue mission. He came to restore all things. He came to redeem us. He came to herald a whole new way of living that is meant to change the world. This is God's gift of grace to us. Our response is to offer our lives to Him and follow Him. And like I said, it's to turn, and it's to trust, and it's to acknowledge. Do you need to do that today? Do you need to begin your journey of following Jesus today? Kim and the team are going to come, and they're going to sing a final song. And as they do that, as they sing this wonderful song, I want you to think about your life and your walk with Jesus. And maybe as they're singing, you just want to pray to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want to turn from walking away from you. I want to walk towards you. Jesus, I want to trust you. I want to jump off the diving board. I want to say you are my Lord. And when you do that, from your heart, you walk through the door of the cross and enter His kingdom, and things start to change. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning, as this is the start of a new ministry year, that all over this room, as we sing this final song, people will be doing that. That people will be repenting and trusting and acknowledging. And may that be the beginning of something amazing and new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I invite you to stand as we do sing this song. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forever. Let's sing this. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. We're also going to take up the offering at this time, so if you have those cards and you want to put them in there, or if you have some offering, we would love if you would do that. If you want to give digitally as well, or virtually, or whatever the word is, we've got a station at the back where you can do that too. But let's continue to sing this truth. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid Him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by every stone. Messiah still and all alone. Praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the saints, my gaze transfixed. Jesus' face. Sing it out. Sing, oh, praise name.
That's our desire here at SBC, whether we're gathered in this room, whether you're gathering in your home, maybe in your microchurch, in your community, that all praise would be given to our God. And that's both in word, in song, and in life. And so we want to partner with you. As I said earlier, I don't feel like you got to rush off. I'd love to get to know you a little bit better. Maybe grab a donut. There's a donut wall out there. Sorry for those of you online. Go grab a piece of, I don't know, bread or something. That was lovely. Just would love to be able to chat with you, hear a little bit more about the ministry. But here's the thing. If you're here this morning, you just need some prayer. We've got folks up front who'd love to pray with you. If you're online, you can reach out online, and someone will get back to you, and we'll pray along with you. As we do kind of gather after, there's people at the back, all kinds of intel to help you understand what's going on here at SBC. But also for those of you who have kids, if you could go get your kids pretty quick so that the teachers can come and be a part of this this time after, getting to know it, getting to know one another. So let me just conclude with this benediction. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will, everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us SBC, what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. God bless you. Go with him.
miss you.